And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, we've managed to make it through the elections. We're still here. And, you know, I think God's people, regardless of who is in office, we're going to thrive. How's that possible? You know, I was reading the Old Testament recently, and I was reading again the book of Job. What a fascinating book. Job in the Bible. Now, no one had it tougher than Job did. Lost his family. He was afflicted with a horrible disease. He became homeless, begged for bread out on the street, and his best friends turned against him and said, "You must have done something wrong. You must have a lot of sin in your life. You're being punished by God." But none of that was true. You know, a lot of people today, because they've listened to these word of faith preachers, these prosperity gospel folks, they believe that you're going to just be showered with cash and jets and Mercedes automobiles, and your wife's going to wear furs and diamonds, and you're going to be jet-setting to capitals around the globe, all because you became a Christian. Well, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have, if they did what they did to Jesus, why are we any better? Look what they did to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They crucified him on the cross. And folks, we should be very thankful then that up to now, most of us have lived a life without a lot of affliction. And I'm not saying you're rich or anything like that, but we've been able to get by, to evade what is even happening to many of our neighbors and nations around the world. Many Christians have suffered deeply. Christians in the Muslim countries have had their heads chopped off for their faith, have been beaten, tortured in countries around the world. So we've really been very fortunate here in America. But listen to what it says here. This is something. You know, a lot of people say, why do the rich prosper and the faithful and the righteous sometimes suffer so much? Well, we have to realize now that our lives are only a speck of time as far as infinity. If you're a Christian, you're going to live forever and ever and ever. You can't even count the number of years, you know, gigabillion, trillion, or whatever they come up with. They have all kind of different names for numbers once it goes past a giga whatever, don't they? Listen to what it says. But if you don't know God, you may have riches temporarily, but where you're going to spend eternity is a very, well, you just have a bad, bad future ahead of you. Listen to what it says in Job chapter 8. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. You ever seen a lot of people that are hypocrites? They claim to be Christian, claim to be holy and pious. During this last presidential election of Obama and Romney, I was reading in the press where Bill Clinton gave a speech in favor of Obama, and he asked this question to his audience. He said, and he was criticizing Mitt Romney, and he was saying that Mitt Romney tells lies. And Clinton said, "Do you really want to elect a president that lies to us?" And I was thinking, who said that? President Bill Clinton on the campaign stump for Obama. And he says, "Do you really want to elect a president that lies to us?" And we all remembered that famous statement, "I did not have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky." What a hypocrite. Well, the Bible says the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Folks, every person who is a hypocrite, who is a liar, a murderer, an adulterer, who does not repent of that, and especially those who persecute Christians, let me tell you, Their hope in this world will perish with their bodies. But listen what it says. It goes on to say, whose hope shall be cut off and whose trust shall be a spider's web. You know, that's why I didn't care for either candidate, Obama or Romney. I didn't have trust in either man. Folks, put your trust in God. Otherwise, you've just entered the spider's web. And boy, the spider is waiting for his next victim. It says here, he shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure. Folks, we cannot put our hope in people, only in God. And that hope will be durable, will be lasting. So pray that God will find favor in you, would be my counsel as your good friend, Tex Mars. Okay, we're going to go down the rabbit hole today. Remember that story in Alice in Wonderland? Little Alice meeting all those strange characters, the wicked queen and the big rabbit and all. And at one part, she goes down the rabbit hole. And boy, when she gets down there, she goes deeper and deeper and she finds some strange things. When you start going down the rabbit hole, you find things, don't you? You find lies. You find liars. In fact, it's been my very sad discovery, and probably yours too, talking about not having hope or trust in man. It's been my discovery that Americans usually feast on hoaxes, lies, and propaganda, while astonishingly, many wonderful truths are assigned by those in charge to the dustbin of history. Think about that. You know, recently we talked on this program about the World War II massacre of 22,000 Polish officers in the Katyn Forest. And at the time, in 1940, when all this occurred, word got out about it. And Franklin Roosevelt was told about it. Our intelligence knew about it, knew what had happened. And Sir Winston Churchill knew about it. And certainly Hitler knew about it. And Stalin, who was the communist monster, knew about it. Now, how would Stalin know about who did this, these murder of these 22,000 Polish officers? That's because Stalin ordered it done. Stalin and the Jews with him that were in cahoots with him that ran Russia and commanded the great Soviet army were the ones that did it. But they blamed it on the Nazis. They said the Nazi army did it. Yes, the Nazi army, the SS Gestapo in the leadership, killed the entire officer corps, took them out to the forest, just massacred them. Franklin Roosevelt told everybody, yeah, that's what happened. It was the Germans. It was the Nazis. Just like George Orwell's novel, 1984. There's a black hole, you see, and the truth gets sucked down into the black hole. And they rewrite it. They immediately began to rewrite history. Great Britain, the United States. Did you know that until our era, and what is it now? It's 67 years after World War II. Only now are we discovering, only in the last decade or so really, have we discovered the truth, what really happened. That it wasn't the Nazis that killed these Polish officers, massacred them all, with their hands tied behind their back, took them out to the forest and just brutalized them. Killed them all. No, it was the Soviet communists. But you see, they were our allies. They were our friends. I mean, Roosevelt, our president, called the dictator Joseph Stalin Uncle Joe. Yeah, well, Uncle Joe, he wouldn't do that, would he? Of course, by that time, 1940, Uncle Joe had already killed probably 40 to 50 million Christians and other Russians and other folks behind the Iron Curtain. He was a mass murderer of long standing. To kill 22,000 Polish officers to decimate the best that Poland could offer for their future was nothing. It was a pittance to Uncle Joe, Stalin. And yet, we see these pictures of the Yalta Conference and all the conferences at the end of World War II. And there they all sat together, you know, Churchill and Roosevelt and Stalin. And later, of course, Roosevelt died and Truman took his place in those pictures. Oh, they were all allies and pals at the peace table, dividing up Europe as if it was, they carved it up like a turkey. This one gets this, this one gets this, this. With no remembrance that FDR knew all about of the horrors that the Soviet army had committed. Pat Buchanan said in one of his books recently that maybe we fought on the wrong side. Maybe we should have fought beside the Nazis against the Russians. And in fact, even if the Jews and some others are correct and that over 6 million died in Nazi concentration camps, even if that's true, and I don't believe, I think that number is wildly exaggerated. You'll have to read the book Holohoax by Victor Thorne that we offer in the ministry to get the full grasp of that atrocious lie of how many died in the concentration camps. But even if that were true, even if 6 million really died, we know now from books and documentation that have come out of the Soviet Union since the fall of the Iron Curtain in the mid-1980s. We know now from Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the conscience of the 20th century was called, the great historian of Russia. We know that some 66 million perished through the purges and the horrors of the Soviet communist gulags, most of which were run by Jewish commandants. Think about that. Now, on one hand, 6 million, if it's even true. On the other, 66 million. And it absolutely is true. You see how history is warped? How many movies have come out making the German Nazis look totally evil and depraved since World War II? How many books have been published? Magazine articles. Okay, now count that on one hand. And on the other, count how many have told us about the Soviet Union gulags. Have you ever seen a movie about the Soviet gulags? I think they've just got one or two out now coming out. But Hollywood doesn't like them. They're not pushed. They don't make it even to theaters usually. The Jews own American culture. They own Hollywood. They own our media. And they're not going to tell us what really happened to the Soviet Union. So people like Tex Mars have to find out real history from real historians, alternative historians, who've dug down and discovered the real truth. You know, I've quoted Henry Ford, the great industrialist, many times. He said, history is bunk. In other words, it's garbage. Today, let's go on down the rabbit hole. We're going to look into some real history. You know, I consider myself a historian. Since I was a young man, I studied the history of World War I, World War II. I've gone back in history to the Civil War. And folks, you have to reconstruct history chink by chink, piece by piece. It becomes a big puzzle for you. And really, it's an enjoyment to me to find out the truth, to discover the truth. Today, we're going to go down the rabbit's hole. We're going to put some pieces of the puzzle together. And we're going to look at some of these hoaxes, propaganda, and lies. And we're going to establish some astonishing truths that have been assigned to the dustbin of history, but shouldn't have been. For example, take the USS Liberty, 1969. Dozens of U.S. Sailors, naval personnel, on that spy ship Liberty in the Mediterranean, attacked by the Israelis. I believe it was with the foreknowledge of our president, Lyndon B. Johnson. And Rabin, yes, Yitzhak Rabin, who later became prime minister, was in charge of the military forces that did it. Well, he got his comeuppance. He was assassinated by one of his own kind, a Jew. Yes, Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin was the Jewish leader who was assassinated. Here he had no mercy, though, for the naval personnel of the United States that were attacked for hours on end. Unfortunately, they were so incompetent, and our naval personnel were so brave that although we lost all that life and so many were wounded and maimed, at the end of the attack, the Liberty had not sunk, but victoriously was still afloat. Well, now we know, with so many of the sailors have come out, even their commander, even some of the top naval officers that have exposed what really happened. But even our own government continues to bottle up this truth, just like they did what happened in the Katyn Forest. Only last year did the National Archives, they were opened up on the Katyn Forest Massacre, and Congresswoman Marcy Kaptur and others were able to find out what really happened. How many other secrets are in our National Archives? We know about the USS Liberty. We know about the Katyn Forest. How about the JFK assassination? They've been closed up. They won't allow us into them. You know, we only found out last year when one of the Kennedy clan finally came out and admitted and allowed some of the documents to come forth. And one of them was not really a document. It was a film, an interview of the former First Lady, the late First Lady, Jackie Kennedy. She gave this interview in which she said she was sure that her husband was killed by a conspiracy. And she believed that the vice president at the time who became president, Lyndon B. Johnson, was involved as a part of that conspiracy. Can you imagine Jackie Kennedy giving an interview saying, yes, my husband was killed, in my opinion, by a conspiracy. And Lyndon Johnson, who became president, the same beast who was responsible for the Liberty, and by the way, what they were planning to do was blame the sinking of the Liberty and the loss of all men aboard. They were going to blame it on Egypt, because at that time, Israel was in a major war going on with its Middle East neighbors. So they wanted to blame this on Egypt so Americans would think the Arabs were horrible, horrible people, and the Egyptians were just terrible. And maybe we might even come in and intervene on their behalf to help them fight that war. That's what their hopes were. Now, let's look at, and by the way, that was released and it was on TV. And perhaps, just like me, you saw there was the First Lady in this interview that was given just shortly after her husband had been murdered, saying it was a conspiracy. Amazing, isn't it? Look, he died in November of 63. That's 37, let's see, 49 years. Only after 48 years with Jackie Kennedy was that film brought out of the archives, and we're allowed to see it. Who's holding these things back? Why can't we know the truth? Well, a lot more for you here. Here's something quite interesting. Did you know that at the Nuremberg Tribunal, the Nuremberg War Crimes Trial, it was called, at the end of World War II, which had no precedent in international law and was absolutely a hoax and a fake from the beginning, most people don't know that most of the German prisoners during the Nuremberg War Crimes Trial were tortured. They confessed all right after they had been tortured. Some of them had their fingernails pulled out. Some of them were burned, their backs and their buttocks and the back of their legs with hot irons. Some of them were beaten so much that teeth were knocked out. Some of them were strangled till they were unconscious and almost dead and forced to sign confessions, quote unquote. Think about that. Think about that. America had these German prisoners, and we wanted them to lie to the world about what had really happened in World War II. We wanted to cover up what America, the Jews had done, Britain had done, what Churchill and Roosevelt had plotted together to provoke this war. We wanted to make the Nazis look like monsters, and thus we made them confess. Isn't that what happened in Guantanamo Bay right now in the last several years? We got all these prisoners from the Middle East. We brought them in by jet. We kept them there incommunicado, unable to communicate with the outside world. And admittedly, we tortured them. Well, it was only waterboarding. And what Sheikh Khalif Mohammed, they claim that he was one of the henchmen that pulled off 9/11. After 153 torture sessions, he finally confessed. Folks, I can make, if I wanted to, and I certainly don't have any desire to, I can make anyone confess to anything. I could make you confess to raping and murdering your own mother if you gave me the torture tools, such as waterboarding and other horrible criminal methods. I can make anybody confess to anything. That's why torture is totally ineffective. Totally ineffective in getting confessions out of people. You'll confess, yeah, did I rob that bank? Yeah, don't use those pliers on the nipples of my breast anymore to torture me. Don't pull out my toenails and my fingernails with pliers. Don't burn me with hot irons all over my back. And I'll confess I robbed that bank. I pulled off 9/11. I killed John F. Kennedy. I'll confess to anything. And let me tell you, it's not only Sheikh Khalif Mohammed that would confess. It's the CIA and the special forces and all the others. And they're all monsters. I don't care if they're Americans or whatever, who torture. They'd confess too. Put them in the place where the Muslim Arab was torturing them. You better believe they'd fess up. The things they never did. How can we ever have a fair trial of these people? Even a military tribunal. How can we bring Sheikh Khalif Mohammed in and say, here, you sign this confession? You know, as a young man, it came out that the police department of a city named Beaumont, Texas, where I live nearby, it came out that many confessions that they had obtained, the Beaumont police, were done by the use of what was widely known and came to be, well, it was proven true, rubber hoses. You know, you get a rubber hose, you cut off about 18 inches of it, and then you just take the guy in and beat the daylights out of him with it. You don't kill him, but you make him wish he was dead. And guess what? People confess all kinds of things. I mean, the Beaumont Police Department was known as one of the most successful in obtaining confessions in the whole United States. How did they do it? With rubber hoses. They beat them. Well, that came out about 1958, and the practice was stopped. And you know what? The rate of confessions during interrogations by the police went down dramatically. If you want to be a monster, you can make other monsters or even innocent men confess to things they didn't even do. Is that what America's all about? Is that what we're... Can we imagine George Washington doing that? I don't see him doing that. I don't know, maybe the British. But not old George. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe someday we'll find in history that even they did things like that back then. Here's something that was interesting. Did you know that right at the height the war was, I mean, really Germany was at its height of its power. The second man in Germany, the deputy Führer, Rudolf Hess, suddenly was captured. Where? In Great Britain. It seems that he got in an airplane. He was a pilot, as well as being the deputy Führer. He was the successor, would have been the heir to the throne, you might say, in Nazi Germany. The second man, Rudolf Hess. And his plane, supposedly, we were told, crash landed. And during the crash, he broke his arm, but that's irrelevant to what I'm going to tell you. And he was taken prisoner. And he said right away he wanted to see the top authorities in Britain. I want to talk to them. He flew by himself. Now we know, now the truth has come out, he did it to have peace talks. Now, you see, Hitler did not want to fight Great Britain. I believe that Hitler sent Rudolf Hess as his personal agent to talk to the leaders of Great Britain. Now, Sir Winston Churchill wanted a war. He wanted a war. But Hess, the deputy Führer, and Hitler did not want a war. That's why when Hitler defeated the entire British army almost, at Dunkirk in France, He allowed them to escape. It's called today the Great Miracle of Dunkirk. Thousands of British boats and ships came across the channel and picked up all of these stranded British soldiers that were left on the beaches of France. They were there just like bait. I mean, they could have been mauled and battered and killed and taken prisoner. Every one of them. Hitler told his generals, stop the attack. He wanted to show generosity. He wanted to show kindness. He never wanted to fight Britain. Now we know that because of documents that have come to the fore all these six decades later after World War II. He did not kill, attack, and destroy. If he had destroyed the British army there at Dunkirk, not at Dunkirk, but on the French shores there, the whole thing happened from Dunkirk, the boats and all that other stuff. But if he had wanted to, he could have gone right in and he was right there. He had already defeated the British. They were running. They were retreating. And then they got to the channel and they couldn't get across the 26-mile channel. And all these boats came. Now, why did they know they would not be attacked, all the boats? They could have been strafed by and attacked by all the German aircraft. Because Germany still had a powerful air force at the time. With Hermann Göring, the World War I hero, at the head of it as the field marshal. Why didn't Hitler destroy them? Right there on the ground in France after they had been defeated in battle. And especially with all these boats, even people were bringing their motorboats and, you know, they're bringing every boat they could to get over, to pick up all those soldiers and bring them back to Great Britain. Only because those soldiers returned to Great Britain and were given billions of dollars in foreign aid and military armaments and stuff by their American allies, only by that method was Britain able to continue the war. If Hitler wanted to defeat Britain, all he had to do was conquer that army. He'd already conquered them, but all he had to do was just take them as prisoner of war, or just massacre them all. If he was a monster, why didn't he just kill all of them? Oh, you know, tens of thousands of just massacre them right there on the beaches. They had nothing to stop him. His tanks, his armored vehicles, his aircraft. He told his generals, though, Hitler shocked everybody. He said, no, leave them alone. Let them peacefully return to Great Britain. He thought, Hitler, that this would show his love of peace. He greatly admired the British people. He told his generals and other insiders. And he wanted Great Britain to work with him to fight off the Russian communists. He knew the Jews were the most evil force in the world that had taken charge of Russia. Lenin, Trotsky, Stalin, Kaganovich, and all the others. He wanted Britain to join him in a great holy crusade to destroy communism and save the world from communism. And if we had done that, if Britain had done that, and if the United States had joined in doing that, Red China wouldn't be Red China today. 100 million Chinese would not have been massacred by Mao Zedong. 30 to 50 million Eastern Europeans wouldn't have been bludgeoned and murdered by the Soviet Union after World War II. Think about that. History. Rudolf Hess, we were never told the truth about him. And when we come back in just a minute, I want to tell you what happened to Rudolf Hess. How he was strangled to death at Spandau Prison. The man who sought peace by parachuting with his airplane into Great Britain to talk to the authorities on a peace mission was taken prisoner, kept in prison till he was in his 90s after World War II. And then finally, they just strangled him to death so he couldn't tell the real purpose of his mission. And that's the story of Rudolf Hess, murdered so he could not challenge the forbidden history of what was called the Good War, World War II. Have a lot more for you when we return. You're listening to Tex Mars. Stay with us, won't you? Right here at Power of Prophecy. Tex Mars again here. You know, talking about real history, I've produced a video that could be the most important video I've ever produced, a DVD. It's over 80 minutes in length, and I want to offer it to you today. It is real history, current history, what's happening right now. And it's happened over the last couple of years in the Middle East, in Asia, Red China. You need to know the facts about Israel, the oil wars that have been going on secretly, and why America has been beaten down, driven almost into becoming a poor, impoverished third world nation. The title of my video, Die, America, Die. Now, I don't want America to die. I love this country. I love the place I was born. I love the place I live. I love the state of Texas. In fact, I can't think of one of the 50 states that I dislike. I love America. I know you do too. You're a patriot. That's why you listen to Power of Prophecy. You know that we put God first, but we also love our country. But we have to know what really is happening in our country, how it's being sold out to communist forces and to forces that claim to be capitalist, but in fact are cartel, crony capitalist. And you need to know about them. You see, we're under attack today, not only from the left, but the right, the so-called right. And that's why I'm neither Republican or Democrat. And I'm certainly not left-wing or right-wing. I'm just American. I'm just plain vanilla American, and I'm proud of it. How about you? And yes, I still love the red, white, and blue, and I love our founding fathers and what they did for America. Were they all perfect? No, a lot of them were even Masons. And you know, I don't mind exposing them. But there were some good folks too. Patrick Henry, John Adams, John Quincy Adams. They never joined the Masonic Lodge. And they love this country just as much as you and I did. And we need not abandon our founding fathers. They're not just dead white men. They're people who had great ideas, ideas about freedom and liberty. But it's been taken away from us today. This video will explain it all to you. It is the one video you've got to have right now. It doesn't matter who's in office in Washington, D.C., it matters what you and I do, what we know to be true in our hearts, true, current, today's events and recent history. And you'll see things in this video you've never, ever seen. You're not going to see it in the media, but I give you the documentation. Boy, this is packed with documentation. I always recommend to people, you know, get the DVD, get you a pen and paper, and start taking some notes. Stop it at certain points and write down the citations. And then you'll have proof, documentation of what is really going on, how we're being sold down the river. And it's a shame. And we need to put a stop to it. But first, you have to know about it. Die, America, die. I'm convinced God gave me so much information that was seemingly impossible to obtain. But, you know, there God opens doors, doesn't he? Die, America, die. $25, that helps the ministry, keeps us going. Believe me, we're not making a profit around here. You know, we're not 501c3, but we are a non-profit, it seems like. And I mean that in a different sense of the word than the IRS subsidies. We don't get them. We need your help. We need your love gifts to keep coming to this ministry. But here's how you can do it. When we sell you things, things that are useful, things that have good information in them and are valuable, then whatever little money that we make from it, we put it right back in the ministry. Keeps going. Now, you may be asking, and some people, I actually never have anybody to ask, but I don't know why they don't. I guess they just trust me, Jerry, the folks that listen to this radio program. But it would be logical to say, well, Tex, you must get a royalty. Everybody that does. I mean, Michael Moore, he's become a millionaire from his videos. Anybody that produces videos, and, you know, they, if they sell pretty good, they get royalties, they get profits. How much did Tex Mars take home? Yeah, it's goose egg. I don't take home anything. I don't have a contract with the ministry where I get to make a profit from each one. I don't have a royalty on them, but I enjoy doing it. I have to say I'm very richly rewarded. I am. Truth is its own reward. I love that. I love that. And that's what I get from it. I get the satisfaction of looking in the mirror every morning and smiling and say, boy, you did your best, Tex. That's my reward. So the more of you order this video, the more this ministry will prosper. And I want to ask you this question. Look at your heart and please answer this, folks. I want to ask you this question. Answer this. how many other Christian ministries do you know of that are standing up for America, for our Constitution, and refuse to bend and compromise on the principles of the Holy Bible and of God? How many? I don't know of hardly any. I can't even count them on one hand with five fingers. If you can, let me know about them. I don't know. I mean, so many have abandoned the faith and gone into crazy stuff. So many, you know, you trust, but then they say, oh, well, you know, I like this Republican or that Democrat, or I'm for this. You know, they surprise you. Let me tell you something, folks. We have been here for 28 years. Long time indeed. Tex Mars has been putting out books and videos and CDs, audio tapes. I've kept this radio program going for so many years. And if you can find one thing that I've changed about the Bible, you know, find it for me if you can. In other words, the basics. I'm talking about the basics. I mean, I'm all the time finding new information and, you know, amending and changing. And I love for people to correct me. Don't get me wrong. I do. I like people to correct me. They help me. One time I was on a radio program. I was talking about Prince Philip. I meant Prince Charles. Somebody wrote and said, hey, Tex, you idiot. You got the wrong prince. Okay. Well, hey, I'm not British. Okay, so I messed up. I knew that Prince Philip was, you know, he's only like 50 years old. You know, well, anyway, I make mistakes. But let me tell you something, folks. I'm not going to make a mistake in what the Bible says. I don't change in terms of what Jesus did on the cross, that the Bible is 100% true. All the books of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You're not going to tune in one day and suddenly text goes off the deep end on some Bible issue. What I taught, what I believed in when I was first saved at the age of, 16 or 17, is exactly what I believe today. I believe then, if somebody said, do you believe the Bible is true? Yes, I did. That's what I told them. A lot of people say, well, what an idiot. He actually believes the Bible. He believes Jesus is really Lord. He believes in everything the Bible says about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. Golly, is that text? You know, I once had a debate with Madeline Murray O'Hare, the atheist. She said, you're an educated man. You're a scientist, Mr. Morris. You're an Air Force officer, retired. You believe in all those myths and fables of the Bible? Aren't you embarrassed? That was the question she gave me. Aren't you embarrassed to say you believe in those things? I said, no, ma'am, at all, not at all. Because everything I've studied in science and history confirms the Bible. And I told her, my great hope, Madeline, is that someday you'll believe too. Oh, no, I'll never believe that stuff. I hope she did in her last moments. You know, she was murdered. She had a habit of hiring ex-convicts in her organization, the American Atheist Foundation. She did it because she loved to hire ex-convicts who were atheists. The more they hated God, the more she liked them. So she hired these ex-convicts to work for her organization. They found out she had gold. Their claims that she embezzled it, you know, she cheated her own nonprofit organization, American Atheist Foundation, and she was enriching herself with income from the coffers of that group. She kept it in her own private vault or safe. They found out about it. They murdered her for the gold. They murdered her daughter. They murdered her son. I understand they cut up their bodies even. The very atheist that she had hired murdered her. And you better believe they didn't have any conscience about doing it. They didn't kill her, though, because she was an atheist and hated God. They killed Madeline Murray O'Hare because they wanted her money. She wanted money, too. That's why she had that gold stored up. And it meant she lost her life. I pray that maybe Madeline Murray O'Hare remember the words of that person that she called stupid and ignorant, the guy that she called a educated scientist, the one that she said should know better, that the Bible was a bunch of fairy tales and myths. I hope she remembered just before they murdered her that there is a God. Hope she gave her heart to him. Who knows? Maybe we'll see Madeline Murray O'Hare in heaven. You say, that's impossible. She was an atheist. Hey, folks. The Apostle Paul was a murderer. He didn't personally kill, but he was there when the martyr Stephen was stoned to death and beaten by the Jewish mob for preaching Jesus. He was there. He approved of it. He hunted and tracked Christians down. And then one day, he met Jesus. Let me give you, of course, our phone number here, how to get the video Die America Die. Our phone number, toll free, 1-800-234-9673. Ask for Die America Die, $25. Add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $30. You can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. And hey, I want you to remember, we have two websites. We have one called conspiracyworld.com. It's like news of the day, all kinds of news. It's going to be an amazing source for you. Go to conspiracyworld.com. Do it every day, and you'll love the news reports and things we have there. But also go to powerofprophecy.com. A lot of stuff there that I can't put in a newsletter that we send out every month. Go to powerofprophecy.com. You can listen to our radio program there as well on streaming audio, but you can order our products such as Die America Die. It's right there on the home page. Click onto it and order it with your charge card, with PayPal and so forth. You can write to us, of course, send us $30. That's $25 for the video, $5 shipping and handling. Ask for Die America Die. Write to us at Power of Prophecy. We've been here so many years. 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas. 78733. We're in the country, outside of Austin, Texas. Actually, it's been growing up here, Jerry. We were sort of alone out here, way down this old lonely road. Now there's houses all around us, you know. They're just all around. They like us. They're moving in on us. Okay, let's return to our regular program now. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. We're talking about going, well, actually, we're down the rabbit hole. We're right down the rabbit hole right now. We're seeing how Americans are told so many lies, so much propaganda, while astonishing truths that we should know about have been assigned to the dustbin of history. Hey, I mentioned to you about Hitler's right-hand man who parachuted into Scotland and Great Britain, was taken prisoner. Rudolf Hess was his name. In May of 41, I want to give you the facts on it, Hess, who is evidently very fluent in English, or he was before he died, he flied a solo mission over Scotland and parachuted in, carrying an offer of peace from Germany. Now, he hoped to meet up with the Duke of Hamilton, who he had befriended at the 1936 Berlin Olympics. He wanted to convince his British friends of Germany's sincere desire for peace. Remember, May of 41, that was before America got involved in World War II, in December of 41. But Churchill found out about it through his intelligence. He found out that Hess had landed, and he did not want peace because the Jews behind Churchill, and he was half Jew himself, wanted war. And so Hess, Rudolf Hess, was taken prisoner, and the world was told he's a crazy man, or that he was trying to get away from Hitler, that there had been some kind of internal coup d'etat attempt, and he was just attempting to escape Germany. That's what the world was told. They were lied to. Hess was held in solitary confinement for the duration of World War II. And after the war, he was, quote-unquote, tried at Nuremberg, although he didn't commit any crimes. Then he was sentenced to life imprisonment in Spandau Prison in East Berlin. And he had guards that were made up of the Russian troops, American and British. And the French, even, I think, as far as that goes. Well, he got older and older and older, and finally he was 93 years old. And people actually began, in Germans particularly, said he should be released. He's been punished enough. He never had any part in the concentration camps or anything else. Let this 93-year-old man, he was the only prisoner being held in a prison at Spandau, Germany, all by himself. His family asked that he be let go. Then suddenly, one day, the 93-year-old man was found hanging in his cell. He was murdered. Now we know he was murdered. And the details of his peace mission, the so-called allies, the United States, Britain, and Russia, felt like would be buried with him. But evidently, we now know that the rope marks on his neck are clearly consistent with him being strangled from behind and not hanged from above. They said, let's get rid of this old man. Too many people want him to be released. We don't want him to talk. They'd never let him talk, give a story. No interviews. He was never allowed to say one word about World War II, about Hitler, about his own role in the peace mission. And they went ahead and murdered him, got rid of him. He was only 93 after all. But he knew things. He knew things they didn't want out. You know, we're lied to so much. Listen to this. Here's a newspaper story. Just came out in the Independent newspaper in Great Britain. We don't get a lot of this stuff over in America. I have to scour the headlines around the world to find news of truth. Police hunt hardline Jews after pro-Nazi graffiti attack on a Holocaust museum. Wow. Turns out that Israeli police have been looking for members of an extremist ultra-Orthodox Jewish group. Here's what happened. The Jewish group, late at night, spray-painted virulently anti-Zionist, anti-Jew, Jew-hating slogans on the walls of Jerusalem's Holocaust Museum, the Yad Vashem Holocaust Memorial Center. Now, here were some of the slogans and messages that were painted on the walls of this museum in Jerusalem. Hitler, thank you for the Holocaust. Hitler, Jews, wake up. The evil Zionist regime doesn't protect us. It jeopardizes us. Hooray for Hitler. All these things were written on the walls. Kill all the Jews. That was also spray painted. And immediately the Orthodox Jews rose up. And newspapers throughout Israel said, see there, right in our own country, we have Jew haters. We've got to find these Jew haters right here in our midst and get rid of them. Well, the wave of condemnation quieted when it turned out that it was Orthodox Jews themselves who had done it. Friends, this is what's been happening around the world. Here in America, if you read about a Jewish cemetery being defaced, about Jewish synagogues having paint sprayed on them with horrible slogans, anti-Semitic slogans, you better believe it's almost been done, almost always has been done by Jews themselves. I remember a case some years ago where a young woman claimed that she had taken a subway ride and met up with a bunch of neo-Nazi vandals. And they held her down and raped her, she said, and then they carved a swastika in her forehead. And in fact, she did have a swastika cut out in her forehead. What a horrible thing for those neo-Nazis. Terrible. We got to track them down. Well, it turned out she did it to herself. She sat in front of her own mirror and cut out a swastika in her forehead. And then she took a ride on the subway. And then she blamed the incident on neo-Nazis. Later on, she confessed that it was herself that had done it. Again, history says, and every year it's been reported, you know, the ADL, the Southern Poverty Law Center, they report all of these crimes against Jews in synagogues and cemeteries and so forth. Turns out that Jews did it. Hey, here's something else that just makes me so mad. We're told that Christians are so bigoted and intolerant. But listen to this story, also from Great Britain. Turns out a Christian street preacher in Great Britain was taken to court. Gay men had passed by where he was preaching. And one of them supposedly had asked the man, told him, I'm gay. I'm a homosexual. What's going to happen to me? Can I go to heaven? And the man told him what the Bible said. Well, these two gay men went to the police and filed a complaint saying that this Christian street preacher had told them that they were sinners who would burn in hell. And they said that that's threatening language. Threatening language beyond the boundaries of free speech. And so Michael Overd, 47 years old, this Christian street preacher, lay preacher, was taken to jail. And then finally he was tried in court. Well, the court finally let him go. Now, think about it. And by the way, it wasn't even true of what he said. And as a matter of fact, the witnesses said that the gay men had abused the guy and cursed him out and told him, you're dead, you're dead. I'm going to kick your effing head in. They had threatened the man, the Christian, for preaching. Well, the man was let go by the court because the witnesses came in and testified on his behalf that the gay guys were lying about him even. But here's the whole point about it. Shouldn't a Christian preacher be able to witness to gay people if they ask him the question? Is it okay to be homosexual? Shouldn't he be able to quote the Bible? Evidently not. There's laws against telling the truth, even about the Bible, in countries like Canada, Australia, Great Britain. And they're coming to America, these hate crime laws. But what about this one? Listen to this story. And I've got the picture to prove it. Zombies. It seems that in Philadelphia, they've been having a lot of zombie parties. The college kids, the other kids, the yuppies. Well, there's even a radio station there that's been promoting zombie parties. And people dress up as zombies, you know, with ugly gashes in their body and, you know, like the zombies, the missing arms and all that. Horrible looking critters. And then they go out of their parties out into the streets in Philadelphia at night, roaming the streets as zombies. Supposedly having fun. Zombies brought to life. And everybody screams out, zombies, zombies. And I guess this is the big fashion, the big fad now in Philadelphia and some other cities. They have zombie parties that break out even onto the city sidewalks. And everybody's in costume as zombies. Well, seems that this couple came out dressed as Jesus and Mary, zombies. Have a picture. Jesus the zombie. His mother Mary the zombie. As horrible night creatures. Satanic zombies. Now see, that's okay though, isn't it? I mean, they're having fun in Philadelphia, mocking Jesus Christ. Who brings them to justice? Well, nobody. Hey, here's a hoax for you. Global warming. But I've already told you, and here's another article that's come out about it from Newsmax.com. Record Antarctica ice contradicts global warming trend. Now, there's propaganda for you. The sky is falling. Al Gore says that Hurricane Sandy was because of global warming. But you know, folks, we had hurricanes in the 1400s, in the 1600s, in the 1800s, before we even had industrialization. There were hurricanes that hit the East Coast of America and the Gulf Coast of the United States even before Christopher Columbus. Wow. Al Gore, can you answer that one? The ozone man? How did that happen? And now there's more ice in Antarctica than ever before in history. They say the ice is melting on the North Pole and it's 10 times bigger at the South Pole. Al Gore, can you explain that? You're a genius. You invented the internet. You know everything. I guess he can't. Oh, well. Hey, the Pope's butler. The butler did it. Did you hear about this? Folks, the Pope is a wonderful man, infallible, never makes a mistake. He's so honest. Well, it seems that the butler, yes, the butler at the Vatican, who was the actual butler who assisted the Pope in his private apartments, well, he stole documents that the Pope was keeping. Documents, thousands of papers. His name was Paolo Gabriele. Paolo Gabriele. Well, it turns out that he found out about all the scandals and corruption at the Vatican Bank and about all the things that the Pope and the cardinals have been doing, you know, like homosexual pedophilia and financial matters of horror. Well, the Holy Father, that's what he likes to be called, the Holy Father found out that Paolo Gabriele has been filching these papers, and he's been collecting them. He was a mole, and he began to leak this highly compromising material to an Italian investigative journalist who published it in a book. And the butler was paid for these papers. Yes, the butler leaked the truth about the Vatican, but no more, because these documents have been seized. That's right. The Vatican's police, working with the Roman police, raided the apartment of Mr. Paolo Gabriele. The butler was caught. His apartment was raided. And now this vast stash of documents that referred, for example, I'm told, to the death of God's banker, Roberto Calvi, who was found hanging beneath Blackfriars Bridge in London in 1982. Murders. Theft of billions of dollars by the Vatican. Whoa. The butler knew all about it. And now he's going to go on trial, the poor guy. Hey, did you hear about Iceland? Little country. Iceland went bankrupt. They're warning us in America, we're on the edge of a fiscal cliff. We owe so much money. I just read that every person in America owes over $280,000, according to the bankers, according to the U.S. Treasury Department, according to the Federal Reserve. You owe over $250,000, every man, woman, and child in America. Who do we owe it to? Ah, that's the question. To whom do we owe it? Well, Iceland just decided to go bankrupt. They threw out their prime minister. They threw out most of their Congress. And they said, we will not pay the debt. We've decided to go bankrupt. And they were told by the world's authorities, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, you will have it hard. You'll be living like in caves again. You'll be Neanderthals. You've got to pay your debt. They said, no. Not only that, they took their prime minister and put him on trial for corruption. They took the bankers. Most of them fled the country. The little country of Iceland. Guess what's happened? 4 years ago this happened, when the Great Recession hit the world. Iceland went bankrupt. The people decided they'd rather go bankrupt than pay this horrible debt and go into a period of austerity. Well, guess what? Iceland's economy is now growing faster than the economies of the United States and the European community put together. After they arrested the corrupt bankers and just said, no, we will not pay. The country is prospering again. They don't owe the money. They never owed it in the first place. Folks, maybe that's a good example for America. It's all a hoax. We don't owe any debt. The bankers got all the money. I don't think we should pay one dime. Do you? Folks, get my video, Die America Die, and you'll see. Here's another thing for you. This just came out, and it was published actually by CNBC.com. The financial channel says U.S. may soon become world's top oil producer. They didn't tell you about that, had they? Says U.S. oil output is surging so fast that the United States could soon overtake Saudi Arabia as the world's biggest producer of oil. Wow. We're gonna be selling oil and gas to the rest of the world. We're going to be the richest country in the world. We're sitting on a continent of oil and gas that they've hidden from us. It was a hoax that this oil peak existed, that we were running out of oil, that America needed 40, 50, 60, 70, 80% of its oil from the Middle East and from other countries. It's all been a lie. It's been hidden from us. It's there. And now, even America's number one financial news channel says, yep, it's so. Yep. We are topping the Saudis. We're already exporting more oil than we're importing. We're the oil baron of the world. America sits on top again. Who gave us this wealth? I think his name is spelled God. G-O-D. He gave it to us. They've been hiding it from us. And now we found out. Folks, this is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. It's my pleasure to be with you and sharing these things, these secrets, and really illuminating the world with truth. Isn't that our mission? Because Jesus is the way, the life, and the truth. Tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.